Maybe listening to this will give someone the permission to say, hey, I'm just going to be home. Because I do think there's a lot of societal pressure to do all the things all the time. They're valuable, good things, but there is something to loving the ordinary days. And I think that's where so much of this comes back to for me. Getting my life to a point where I love the ordinary and I am discipling my kids in loving what is ordinary. That is what education and discipleship is, teaching you what to love, giving our kids this idea of what is good and beautiful and what a life worth living looks like.
My name is Lisa, mother of 8 and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Welcome back to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. Today we are having on someone that you all might know if you've been listening to Christian music anytime in the last 15-ish years, something like that. I'm just guessing. I'm mostly just on my Amazon Music app or Spotify these days, but I used to listen to the Christian radio station, and Francesca Battistelli, that's who's coming on today, was on all the time. So I know her songs. You probably could sing them too. We're going to chat about her leaving the city, or at least town. I don't know how much of the city it was, or in Nashville, to go to the country, to homestead, homeschool, basically live the modern dream, right? Like, this is what we all seem to want, especially if you're listening to this podcast, and what that looks like, how she balances it with her music career and with her family of, she has 6 kids and a little homestead. So there's a lot that goes into that. And then there's a lot of priorities and lines that had to be drawn. So we are going to chat about that. So without further ado, let's listen to this interview with Francesca Battistelli. Thank you so much, Francesca, for joining me. I'm really looking forward to chatting with you. We're going to talk about your journey into homesteading, homeschooling, all of that stuff. But then one thing, as I was looking through the ideas of what to talk about with you, that kept coming up with different people and things I've been asked, is balance and how, you know, all of those things work together. And you have a bit of a music career as well. So let's start with introductions. Tell us about you, your family, and your homestead, or whatever else you want to share.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me. I'm excited. When Leanne reached out, I was like, yes, I would love to do this. This is really, really fun to just get to chat.
Yeah.
So my name's Francesca Battistelli. That's actually my maiden name, but that's how most people know me. So Goodwin is my, is my last name. And we have 6 kids. We homeschool, and we live outside of Nashville, a good ways out in the country in Tennessee. And yeah, we've been here at this spot for a little over 2 years. So we have over 30 acres and kind of trying to figure out how to be homesteaders. And it's been a really fun journey so far.
Okay. So what prompted the move out into the country, and where were you living before? Like, were you in town, or how'd that look?
Yeah, we were in town. We were in Nashville for, I guess, about 7 or 8 years, just right on the border between Nashville and a suburb. And we loved it. I remember when we moved in, we had about 1 acre. And we had 2 kids at the time. And it was pretty immediate after that that we were like, oh, I think one day we want to have land. Then it was just this waiting of, okay, Lord, what does that look like? And, you know, will that ever happen, sort of thing?
Yeah.
But yeah, we've just, because we were really trying to think recently, like, when did this desire in our hearts, when did it start? And we can't really pinpoint a moment, but we just know it's been years of wanting to be just a little further from the crazy, just wanting to have space. You know, we have, like you, a lot of children, and they,
right,
just the ability to say, go outside and not have to think about it. I can't remember. It was only 2 years ago, but I go, how did we live before when it was like, there's a road and a street and neighbors and we're so blessed. And then of course the homesteading part, wanting to be a little more self-sufficient and raise our own food. We've always loved to do things naturally and organically, and just tried to get as close to how God intended things as we can. So getting to play a bigger role in that has been a real gift.
Yeah. As far as your journey out of town and whatnot, that sounds very similar to mine, where when people ask me, like, have you always wanted this? I'm like, well, I don't really remember when it started. I know it was years though, before we actually got it from when we were first thinking about it. But I'm like you, like, I'm like, I think for the most part, yes, but it wasn't instant. When we bought our house, we thought we'd stay there a little while, like the one that we bought in town. So I don't think I thought that when we first got married, but at some point, it probably also does go along with as you have more kids, because you're right. Being able to send kids outside, and that is something that a lot of, if you're not in that situation, it's really hard to imagine. And if you don't have older kids, you know, that you could, and just what that does for you to be able to send kids outside.
Totally.
It's a whole different world for you.
Yeah. It is. And to have things for them to do productively. I mean, we have all the vehicles and things they can ride, but they also will go. My 5-year-old is like the champion of raspberry picking. So every day I know I don't have to pick the raspberry.
Yeah.
You know, in the summer he'll do it. And, you know, my older two do chores and feed the chickens. And it's just cool to see them take on more than you even think that they can do. I think our culture is so, we kind of want kids to be, I don't know, we don't always give them the opportunities to show that they, you know, kids love meaningful work and they're able and capable to do more than we give them credit for sometimes. So it's cool to kind of push ourselves in that and see what they can come up with.
Yeah, it does give you a lot of opportunities to give them things to do whenever you have a homestead. There's a lot of little jobs that even a 3-year-old can do. So that does lend itself to it quite nicely. So with the homesteading lifestyle, balance is a question I get a lot, because you have 6 kids, you homeschool, and then to what extent, I know you do shows, but maybe you don't do like near the amount you used to. To what extent does your career still play a role?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was thinking about this and we're kind of about to put it to the test. So we had our 5th baby in 2020. So January of 2020, we were already planning on taking that pretty much entire year off of touring. We've been kind of scaling back since 2016 when we had our 3rd, going, this is not a sustainable lifestyle from the standpoint of we're going to be on the road 200 days a year. I mean, a lot of Christian artists, that's how they do it. And we were inching towards that right until we had our 3rd baby and just went, this just, no, we can't.
That's much.
It's insane. Even 100, even 75, like it's a lot.
Right.
You kind of have like your norm is the road. And your home is sort of like the anomaly. And we wanted to flip that. So since 2016, we have been slowly working towards that. And I can't even tell you how we've gotten here, except that we just keep putting it before the Lord and he keeps providing, because for a touring artist, especially in Christian music, touring is really the only way, the main way that you survive financially. So the Lord has just continued to just provide, which is awesome. So we had been slowing down, but still, you know, doing a good bit. And then 2020 happened. We were already taking the year off. So it felt like, I mean, I remember our booking agent saying, you guys look like geniuses because everyone else is scrambling. Like, what do we do now? We had all these shows. So kind of regrouping at the end of that year going, when even can people tour again? You know, because it was tricky there for a while watching friends go through that and shows would get canceled or whatever just because of lockdowns and all of that. So we've really taken 3 years, 2.5 years of barely doing anything, maybe a show a month, maybe 3 shows a year, certain years. So very little.
Okay.
And it's been absolutely wonderful and we've loved it. And for most of this time, I haven't had any desire to even really go back to what things were. And we won't, we don't have that desire to go back to the crazy, but I am starting to see how the Lord is going to, things are just happening. So I'm making an album. I have 2 more that I have to make with my label anyway. And I've been sort of putting them off and I'm finally at the point where I'm excited. We've got 6 songs started recording just in the past 2 weeks and talking about some tours for next year. So all that to say, very roundabout answer, it has been pretty easy to balance because there hasn't been a lot. But really, honestly, I've seen the Lord provide in with people to help, with, you know, systems that I didn't have, with whatever, so many times over the years that I just know, even though I can't necessarily like see exactly how he would do it, I know that he will. So yeah, we're praying about what next year is going to look like and trying not to take on too many new things in case, you know, we are a little bit busier. Though I say that, and I also am constantly talking about cows with my friend down the road. So we will see how self-controlled I can be.
Right. Yeah.
With new animals. But yeah.
But even just, you know, even taking the career out of it, and you've scaled that way back, but just homeschooling and homesteading in itself, that can be a lot to balance. Sure. Have you found, like, what have been some really impactful systems or any, like, things that have been life-changing, or has it just been slowly adding, you know, different habits with your kids and it's been built over time? Or, yeah, how's that
looked? Yeah, you know, I think that we're still in the, you know, elementary school stage of that, because we started homeschooling in 2020. In the last 2 years, we were part of a co-op, so I felt a little bit on autopilot homeschool-wise. This year, we've kind of shaken everything up, and we're doing it totally on our own. And so I feel a little bit like I'm starting over, but it's been really good homeschool-wise to just take back a little bit of that ownership. Not that I gave it away freely, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And pairing that with the homesteading, I think that my biggest struggle, though I know you asked for the opposite of this.
No, that's okay.
My biggest struggle has been, we planted this huge garden last year. It's absolutely beautiful. We had someone help design it and install it, and it's amazing. And it's my happy place, but it's big. And it's a bit overwhelming to sort of really be a new gardener. I mean, I've had some, you know, a couple in the past, small little, you know, neighborhood gardeny things, but to really say, okay, we're doing this, and then also try to learn preserving and all of it kind of at the same time, I'm starting to go, I need to take sort of one skill per season and try to master that. And I for sure haven't, but just trying to, I mean, honestly, blogs like yours and courses and stuff where people just break stuff down, and I'm so visual, I need to see it if I do it a couple times. But I think the biggest trick or tip has just been involving my children. I have a, really my 11-year-old daughter is the one who is the most excited about all these things, homesteading and all the things in the kitchen. And so she's become my right-hand gal.
Yep.
And so getting to you know, teach her and go, this is a part of your education as well. And if we don't get to a certain subject today, but you're in the kitchen with me canning or, you know, baking or whatever, I feel like that is such an important skill to give her. So it's kind of killing a few birds with one stone.
Right. Yeah. And is that your oldest child?
She's my second oldest. So my oldest is a boy.
Okay.
He's almost 13. And he loves helping out with the animals and all the building and things around the farm. My husband does so much of that. I really can't take a lot of credit. The garden is sort of my domain, my biggest domain at this point, and the home.
Mm-hmm.
And everything else outside is mostly his. And so I'm so thankful for that. You know, we work together from home on our own. He's my manager. And so we can both sort of make our own hours and say, okay, today I'm going to spend a whole day working on this. We have this cottage from the 1800s that was really the main house, and they moved it in the 70s. And it's got so much potential. But right now it's just his workshop, and he's trying to get things all organized. And then pretty soon we're going to probably, I'm going to say, okay, let's find another place for your workshop, because we really want to turn it into like a livable space. But there's always a project on the homestead.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that. There is never a day where you go, what shall we do today?
Yeah. Well, sometimes it can be hard to decide which thing to do. But as far as there being no options, that's never the case. So you're
never the case.
Your dynamic is so similar to mine, which is very unique. It's very unique. Yeah. So you know, because my husband's home too, and each day, even trying to figure out what to do with the time that you have can be a little bit tricky, and you have to get on the same page. And if you guys are like us, we have meetings like somewhat regularly where we're like, okay, what's working, what isn't working. And then he'll want to write down like, what times do I need to know this week? Like, is there a soccer practice? Is there like, what's going on that I need to know? And then what are we expecting of each other? Which is also a whole thing. So how do you guys sort that all out? Like figuring out who does what? And I mean, you've probably been at this for years, which we have too.
Yeah.
That's helped, but it's interesting. It requires a lot of communication.
It does. I've talked to so many women over the years who are like, I don't know how you do it, because so many married couples are not together all day, every day. And it's not like we're sitting next to each other all day. Like,
we're, no, hardly ever.
I'm like, I didn't see you all day. How was your day?
Right.
But there is this beautiful dance back and forth of, you know, today I schooled the kids all morning and he took them out to lunch and he's like, we'll just hang out till you're done. We'll come back because we don't currently have any sort of dedicated space. And my children were like, why do we have to leave? I was like, do you see this home?
Yeah.
I am out in the open right now. It would be chaos. But then they heard it was Chick-fil-A. They got excited.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, I mean, we have those not formal, but those check-ins all the time. We share.
Yeah. Very informal.
Know, yeah. Yes. We share calendars. I'm sure you do too. That helps a lot, but I often need to go, okay, what changed? What do we have going on this week? And there's a lot of,
it's constantly changing.
Yeah. There's so much freedom in that though, to be able to say, hey, I need to get this done. Can this happen? Or can you focus on this because X, Y, and Z is happening next week. And so we need to make sure, you know, this gets done first or whatever. So it is just a constant training and communication and sanctification as you grow with each other and, you know, try to serve each other. So it's good. It works.
I want to take a quick break to tell you about my favorite makeup, and that is Tubes & Co. So Tubes & Co. is an organic, natural skincare line made by a small company, US, made in the US, based in the US, that the products are not just natural and organic, but they're also really great. I've found that to be a major hole in the marketplace over the last several years. I wanted to wear natural makeup, but I also wanted to have my face look like it was wearing makeup after more than about 15 minutes. I've even tried making my own makeup, and a lot of that was just very insufficient. So I have my Tubes & Co. makeup. My favorite product is definitely the foundation. I have referred this to so many people in my real life. Everybody loves it. Just the other day, my youngest sister tried it for the first time, and she was like, wow, I cannot believe the Tubes & Co. makeup. It is officially my favorite makeup. So that's been the reaction from basically everybody I've referred it to. I love their mascara. I just started using the natural eye makeup palette. Absolutely love it. My favorite thing is, well, other than the foundation, is the eyebrow pencil. Love that thing. Also a huge fan of all of their skincare. So their cleansers, their serums always makes my face feel so great, especially as we're getting into some of the colder months and the wood stove's going and everything's all dry. I will apply the serums all throughout the day and use the cleansing oil at night to really cleanse my skin and moisturize it at the same time. Tubes & Co. is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 10% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE over at Tubes, that's T-O-U-P-S, and co.com. Tubesandco.com, use the code FARMHOUSE. Yeah, we were just having this discussion this morning because we're kind of easing into school. And when this episode comes out, so just so people know, this is recorded like weeks ago. So if you're like, what? You're just now starting. It's late August as we're recording this. So we're easing back into getting out the math lesson. You know, we as homeschoolers, we have a philosophy of learning all the time. You know, we're always doing things that kids are learning because we're all together and we're doing things. We're productive. We're not just sitting there. So obviously there's learning. But we're getting back out like the math lessons and like the certain kids who need to practice reading each day. We kind of are easing into it. And this morning we were having this discussion of like, when both parents are home, like you can run into this where you both are waiting for the other one to not take control, but like decide what direction we're going today. If you haven't set it out beforehand. And you know, there's certain things that a wife is better at organizing and, you know, heading up, and then there's certain things the husband, and so sometimes we're like, wait a minute, I think we are both waiting for the other one to be like, all right, now we're doing this. Have you guys ran into that?
Oh, totally. It's funny, you know, today he was home, like in the home with us while we were doing school this morning, and when I say doing school, sitting down and reading together, because I agree, school is, you're always learning.
Yeah,
it was a little funny, like I was like, oh, okay, I guess, can I do, like, you know, like I'm just deferring to him, even though he's like, no, but you just do your thing. I'm just over here doing, you know, just, I'm just here if you need me. He was setting all this stuff up with the mic and the computer. And it's funny how that dynamic is when you're kind of used to something. And so I'm just used to him being here, but being acres away doing something, you know, physical, and I'm here. But he's
like,
right,
he's right here.
It was fine. It was good. I liked it, but it was just different. So yeah, that's totally a thing. Or even with meals, I mean, 90% of our meals, I'm just planning and doing myself, but he is a great cook and he loves, sometimes he'll just be like, I had a vision to make this today. And so there can even be like ridiculous, but like, well, the other day, literally Saturday morning, I was like, well, I just thought you were going to wake up and be inspired to cook something.
Right.
I'm annoyed that I have to cook. And he was like, well, I can. Would you like me to?
Yeah.
Just that communication is really funny.
Yes.
But I do think the more that you, the more that you communicate your expectations is so helpful. And I'm like, how am I 14 years into marriage and just now feeling like, oh, I can just say, hey, babe, could you do this? Like, and that would be his dream if I would just say
Oh, yeah, every husband's dream. Yeah.
I wonder if someone would, you know.
Right.
So learning that. It's important. And I think having a homestead kind of forces a little bit more of that because you both are like, I cannot do this and that. So I need you to do this. But I still feel like I'm not great at just being direct. So I'm working
on that. No, me neither. But it's definitely been something over the years we've learned. And I had five kids and was homeschooling and all the things. I mean, we didn't have a homestead, but we had chickens and a garden before he came home. So I remember what it was like whenever this was all like all mine. And then, you know, transitioning through having three more kids, more acres, and then also figuring out like, okay, who is not in charge, but like, you know, you're trying to figure out the direction for the day. And we get in these routines usually pretty well, but then there's like right now we're sort of going through a transition period into trying to get back to our like fall schedule. And so we're coming up against like, okay, so how's this going to look? Do we need to write it all down? Do we need chore charts? I'm not really a chore chart type.
Right.
But at the end of summer, especially, it starts to feel like maybe you want to completely like rein everybody in, you know?
Yes, totally. I am a chore chart type. I will make them all day long, but it's sticking to them.
Well, that's my problem.
My
I could make
stick
one.
To them.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I'm like, this is going to be brilliant. And every twice a week, you're going to do. And then I'm like, oh, it was the day we were supposed, I was supposed to make this child do that. And it is funny because I go, at what point do I need them to be autonomous and go, it's Wednesday, I'm supposed to empty the trash or whatever. And at what age, all that stuff. Anyway, that's not what the point of this
is. I think it's personality, though, too. But that is something we were talking about today. We have certain kids who are like, we might have to remind this one for years and that we might just have to be okay with it, you know?
Yeah,
and then certain ones, it's like you tell them twice and that's it, you know?
So, they got it, That helps. That helps.
Yeah.
That helps me.
That's at least what I've told myself.
Yes, absolutely. No, I think you're
I was telling a friend the other day, I met up with a friend and she was talking about how she has three kids and she homeschools and they have a little bit of a homestead too. And she was just like, I just can't figure out how to fit like anything else in. Yeah. And then we started looking at her schedule and realized that she's just not home that much. Like she has a lot of outside obligations during the day throughout the week. And as far as the whole balance thing goes, that is what I've come to the conclusion is that you have to be home most of the time. Like you need to have a very home-centered life that doesn't really like where you don't ever have to leave, you know, except for like maybe, I don't know. We have ours set up to where we're pretty much leaving like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, come and go, whatever. But like Monday through Thursday is when we get all this stuff done that people see and they're like, how do you get this stuff done? It's really just because like during those daytime hours, we're here. You know, like if you want to be baking bread, cooking from scratch, all of these things, you kind of have to be home. So anyways, that's something that I realized more. I'm like, okay, it's just because we're here. Like a lot of the things that you do maybe aren't that time consuming, but you do just have to be home. So how are you guys like structuring your schedule? You said you're not maybe doing the co-op this year, or are there other things that you've intentionally said no to during certain times for that reason?
Totally, 100%. Last year, we had several extracurricular activities and the co-op that took an entire day. And I started to realize, I had heard homeschool moms talk about this more from the homeschooling standpoint of you have to protect your your time at home. You have to protect those hours. Mm-hmm. And what I've realized is the homeschool versions of things, like we did a gymnastics class and like a Ninja Warrior class. They were one right after the other, but they were 10 o'clock on a Thursday. And while I loved getting out of the house and having the kids do that, I said, this year I cannot give up morning hours through Friday. Right. Like I would rather just go with everyone else at 3 or 4 o'clock or in the evening if we're going to do something like
evening
that.
I can do. Yes.
I can do that because if I try to go out of the house first thing in the morning, when we come back, we're all toast. Like it doesn't matter if we were gone for 2 hours. School's not going to happen well. Homesteading stuff's not going to happen well. Even just like you said, getting food on the table and trying to get anything made that's beyond just the norm while you guys are eating, you know, it doesn't have to be special or whatever. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't happen. And so it took kind of a year of overcrowding our schedule, thinking we're homeschoolers, we can have all this freedom, to make us go, no, kind of put some hard yellow lines around certain things. So yeah, we're very similar. My daughter is doing ballet this year. And so far, that's it. We've never been a huge extracurricular family. We will do a few more things as, you know, I have 4 boys and they need to get some energy out. But again, they do all day long.
Yes, yeah.
I send them outside. They've got tons of places to roam. And I make sure we build that into our days as much as I can. So yeah, I think for us, and that is one of the things where I go, how am I going to make an album? But knowing, you know, this fall, but I know that it's also easy to go, there is a finish line. It's quick. I have to record 10 songs. So I may be going to the studio 12 times if, you know, it takes whatever over the next 4 or 5 months. I can do that. And we know that it's a season and you know, things may look a little different and then they'll be back to normal. So not that there ever is a normal, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. That's another thing we deceive ourselves into is like, oh, when things slow down, you know,
they won't. The normal. They just don't. Yeah. I know. You end up having another baby or, you know, who knows? Things just have a way of, right when you get comfortable, I feel like they all go a little bit different. But yeah, for us, it's definitely, I fully agree that you have to be home and home-centered in order to do these things. And that didn't used to be a question. I mean, a couple generations ago, that's just was the norm for everyone. Yeah. Now we're kind of the, you know, the outliers. But it's neat to see, I think, that there is a returning, a resurgence of this.
Oh, yeah.
And it is really neat to see because it's something that, like, has always been in my heart. But it was very easy to sort of dismiss as like, well, I'm just being, that's just naive or selfish. Even I remember thinking like, oh, it's selfish of me to want to be home all the time with my kids. I'm supposed to be doing all these things or I'm supposed to be going out and changing the world. And that's great. And sometimes the Lord has, you know, rare things for us to do. But I do feel like we change the world by being home. There's a quote by someone famous that says that. And it's really, really, it's so true. So
yeah,
it's been a blessing to sort of recognize that and my husband to honor, like we have all come to a place of like, this is good. This is not,
we have to protect this no matter what, like what it takes.
Yeah, exactly. Like we have made hard choices. I think, you know, music industry thinks that I'm retired and have nothing else to offer. And I'm like, cool, whatever. That is fine. I really don't care what you know, if you want to think that. I also would be fine if I never did another thing like that ever again. But I know the Lord has at least, you know, these songs to get out there and what he does with them is then totally up to him. And so, yeah, it's just, it's really neat to come to that place because we weren't always there of going, this is something good and beautiful and to be protected.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code Farmhouse.
Yeah, even if it's worth something, even financially. I mean, because, you know, you're sacrificing things that are opportunities that you could otherwise have, but it's just, it's worth something. It has more value than your tour, which would be, you know, obviously very financially beneficial. So I understand that in a different way in my own life, obviously. I can't sing. But
you can do a lot of awesome things, though, that I can't do.
No one's going to pay me to sing. I had Katie Vogtberg on my – she's from Now That We're a Family on my podcast. And she was talking about how basically what you were saying, back in the day, people didn't have the option to leave because – it would have just required, just to stay alive, like to do your laundry and to make lunch, would have required you to never even think about leaving.
Right.
And, you know, now we have the advantage of that. We totally have enough time to leave. And I am thankful for that. But then sometimes it's like, because of that, we then just never are home and can't get the things done. And like the way that I structure it, like this week, my sister and I were going to take the kids to the zoo because I had a child ask me, he said something like, "Wait, they have elephants at the zoo?" And I'm like, "Oh, I guess I've never taken you to the zoo." I'm going to flip flop. Normally Friday is my more flexible day where I'm like, "Oh, we can go do whatever." But I'm just going to flip flop it. Like, so we're going to take them Wednesday because Wednesday it's going to be a lot cooler. It just makes more sense. Like the temperature is going to spike again later this week. And, and you know, but still I need like, I don't need every day home. We do a lot of things. But like I need 4 days-ish per week where pretty much from the time I wake up till 5 p.m., maybe there's some extracurriculars in the evening, I need to be home that whole time to accomplish like all of this homesteading, homeschooling stuff and create the environment for my kids where I feel like it's a naturally educational environment. Even if we don't do school, we're still being productive at home. And so protecting that time, even though, like you said, there's so many homeschool opportunities.
Right.
Like specifically for homeschoolers where you get the kids in the car, you drive, and then they're – it pretty much messes up your whole day. And then you think, okay, but all we really did was gymnastics for an hour, you know.
Right. Oh, 100. That, I mean, that is where that is where I was last year. I was like, why are we not getting all of our work done? Why are we so behind on all these things? Not that – I've also lightened up a little bit on like, who am I catching up with? But, you know, why does it feel like what we're not able to do the things that I want to get done in a day? And it's like, well, because every day is interrupted or has this bit of like, well, we've got to stop and go do this and then we'll come back. And it's like, you never come back to where you were. When you interrupt that flow, it just changes. And that's, it's okay, like you said, if there's value to that or you go, this is worth whatever. Yeah. Or like, hey, this one day we're going to keep as like a, you know, float day. We can do whatever we want. I love that. I mean, weekends, it's funny. When you work from home and you homeschool, you think, oh, well, I'm not going to do things on Saturdays when everyone else is. I'm going to do them in the middle of the week. And sometimes we do. But there are often times where there is just a natural sort of, hey, we've worked all week. Now we want to go on a hike or go to the zoo or go whatever.
I know you think weekends wouldn't matter, like, but they do. Like they still matter to us.
They still do.
It's no difference, but they 100%. Still do.
100%. Yeah, because we're working, even though we don't go to sit in a cubicle for 8 hours a day. Like when you wake up and you, as a homemaker, really, I mean, we are working full-time jobs. And so even being able to give yourself a Sabbath, it does matter. And so, I mean, I guess we could put it on a different day, but the world is set up to kind of all do it at the same time.
Yeah, I know. It's probably just left over from like the days whenever Luke did work Monday through Friday. It's probably why.
Right.
But it just feels, I feel more like I'm allowed to just
totally,
you know, leave the farm, if you will. So
for sure.
That's what we do.
Yep.
My friend, she was telling me, I always make these schedules and then I realize that I'm not home to do them. So that's another thing too, is you might set up schedules and routines that feel like your chore chart, like feel like, okay, this is going to help us to do things better. But then as soon as I leave, then it's all thrown out the
window. It's out the window.
Like 8 a.m. we do this. It's like, well, actually 8 a.m. we're getting in the car. Mm-hmm. But on the normal days, and it's like, well, what's normal?
Yeah.
You know, like that's, is that even, if you don't set it up like that, there isn't normal.
Totally.
You
know, like
where
totally
you actually
agree.
Do your thing.
Yeah. I mean, maybe listening to this will give someone the permission to say, hey, I'm just going to be home. Because I do think there's a lot of societal pressure to do all the things all the time. Even in the homeschool mm-hmm. community, there are so many things that you can do. There's so many things to be a part of, like you said.
Oh, yeah. You could do something every single day.
And they're valuable, good things. But like you said, if every day is out of the ordinary, there is something to loving the ordinary days. And I think that's where so much of this comes back to for me is getting my life to a point where I love the ordinary and I am discipling my kids in loving what is ordinary. And, you know, that is what education and discipleship is teaching you what to love. And so I think, especially when you're thinking from a more classical perspective, that's really what education was until 150 years ago. And that's how people viewed it. And so I think that giving our kids this idea of what is good and beautiful and what a life worth living looks like, it's not constantly being pulled in 3,000 directions. I don't want to give them that picture. Maybe someone else does, and that's fine. I want to give them a picture of the ordinary things of life are, that's the good life. You know, that is what, it's a gift and it's what's fulfilling. And so being able to kind of steer their hearts towards being more homeward, not so that they're 30 and just living at home, sitting on the couch, but so that they want to go out and create their own homes one day, you know, my daughters will go, I want to be a mom and I want to raise my children in the Lord. And I want to, you know, do these things that my mom did because they're beautiful. It's so funny when you think of like traditions, I think I'm bad at instilling traditions in my family, but then I hear my kids speak and they're like, oh, I can't wait for fall because we're going to have apple cider with cinnamon sticks and we're going to, you know, watch this movie or listen to mom's going to pull these books out. And I'm like, oh, I guess
maybe
we
do.
Yeah. But it's because
rhythms, maybe not so like set, you know,
totally. But they learn to love what we love. And so I think that, it's just kind of all works together in this beautiful way that almost like the Lord designed it that way.
Yeah. It also just makes life go so fast when there's so much going on. It's like, wait, what happened to fall? Like I hardly even saw the leaves turn, you know,
totally.
All of a sudden, you know, we just kind of crave these long days almost like these long days where we have time to, you know, put string around our bread and make it into a pumpkin.
Yeah.
And then it just goes by in a flash and we never made it because there was so much going
things
on.
Things to do, right? Absolutely.
Yeah. My husband always says, you just need to say no to things more. And I'm like, I know. I'm really bad at like today me not protecting future me. Like anytime something's like in the future,
it feels
I like
doable.
Will always feel like doing it then. Yeah.
I do the same thing. Like, oh, that'll be great.
Yeah.
And he's like, are you sure?
I won't be busy that day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
I won't have 8 kids and a homestead and all that day. Somehow.
Totally. I'll just be like waking up, eating bonbons, sleeping wonderfully.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Uh huh. I know. I know. It takes so many years, apparently, to learn that.
Yeah.
Like, okay, no, even future me will be very busy.
Tired.
And we also do this lie thing where it's like when things slow down. And the other day, my sister, she was over and we have a few things that we do during like the school year that are evening things. Mm-hmm. And she's like, yep, stuff's about to pick back up. And I'm like, but when did it slow down?
Right.
Like, she's like, oh, it did at our house. I'm like, I guess this is all in my mind.
It's
like,
funny.
Because in some ways, when I think back, I'm like, it did. Like, we didn't do that much. But sometimes I think our minds can even be chaotic.
Yeah.
Like, there's so much going on in our minds that even if we don't have a packed schedule, it still feels like it zoomed by. And it feels like there was so much. And I'm like, maybe I just put too many things on my mental plate.
That is a word, because that is so true. Being present in the moment is, I am terrible at that. And I'm something I'm actively working towards is just being here now. I don't have mm-hmm. to accomplish something. I can just sit here and read a book to my child, or, you know, feed the sourdough starter. I don't have to listen to a podcast or, you know, be making a mental checklist, to just live in the moment. Oh man, it's a tough one. But I think you're right. When we don't, things just go past us and we don't even realize that they're gone, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just makes life go so fast. And in my early years of motherhood, it wasn't like that. And I remember days being long. And I know to an extent, just having so many kids, there just is more going on. And so it doesn't feel like that. And I'm like, it just felt like I didn't have that same feeling of, where's the summer gone? Why did this, you know, why is it this date, you know, right. back then? And like, I feel like I truly mentally lived a lot slower back then.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Totally. But I guess I don't have a solution, just to say that sometimes it feels like it, even if it's not that busy.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
One thing that has been very helpful for me in my From Scratch kitchen is a grain mill. Recently, actually probably a year ago now, I upgraded to the Mock Mill because of its beautiful design. It has this wood finish. It's very thin. It doesn't have a bowl with it. So you can take any bowl that's laying around your house, depending on how much flour you want to make. So it's not this bulky thing always sitting there. And I absolutely love it. It makes it to where I have it always accessible. I can grab some whole grains, throw it in really fast while I'm busy in the kitchen, which is what has always stopped me from milling grains very often before. I've been experimenting with kamut, einkorn, spelt, rye. I like to do my basic no-knead sourdough recipe and then throw in about a fourth of the flour in some other grain. It doesn't alter the recipe very much. It makes it to where it's still very palatable. It's fluffy and delicious, but then we also have that added whole grain. Sourdough starters are also very happy being fed with whole grain flours. And so having a mill is just a very nice addition to a from scratch or a homestead kitchen. Mock Mill is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners a 5% off discount using my link, bit.ly/farmhousemockmill. Again, that's bit.ly/farmhousemockmill, all lowercase. I've had some people say that they didn't see the discount applied. It will be once you go through the entire checkout process. There's no coupon code required. Once you get to the final stages of checkout, you will see that there is that 5% applied. Again, I couldn't recommend the Mock Mill more. Head to bit.ly/farmhousemockmill. It'll also be linked down in the show notes or description box.
Okay, so on a completely unrelated note, I saw your husband wearing an F3 shirt.
Yes.
Okay, so for all the wives, F3 is like, it's all across the country. It's Christian men's workout group, and they meet at obscene hours. Does yours like 4:30 in the morning?
I think most of theirs start at 5:30, but yeah, okay. He gets up at like, I'm still asleep for sure.
Yeah, so does he love it?
Oh, he loves it. And I love it. It's so funny because almost every time a new guy will come to one of their workouts, mm-hmm. they'll be like, where'd you hear about us? Well, my wife found it on Facebook. Like, the wives are like, please go to this. Uh-huh. This sounds wonderful. Or I'll tell him like, hey, I can tell you haven't been to F3 in a couple of days. You're not quite as like jovial. Yes. Like, he's just a happier dude when he goes. So it's a really cool thing. And I do think every community is a little bit different, just how the faith aspect plays out, but the one he's a part of is so cool. I mean, it's basically a Bible study, like a small group every morning out in the rain, wind, cold, snow, whatever they have to endure. And I think he gets more excited about the super cold mornings. He's like, oh, I got my headlamp on and my 20 layers and to go run 5 miles. I'm like, go for it.
Uh-huh.
But it's been really cool to see how he has just flourished under, you know, being a part of that, and to see the community of men. Like, it's really awesome. If someone has to move, like 5-10 guys will show up and, you know, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really neat thing. I'm like a big F3 evangelist. I love that you know what it is. Yeah. Your husband does.
That's yeah. Awesome. Look it up if you don't know what it is. I think it's just F3.com or something.
Probably.
Cause you can find a local one. I was telling another friend about it. I was like, she was saying something like her husband, it's a good way for them to meet friends too. Cause you know, guys don't really make friends because if you go to a homeschool event, you know, even if like Luke and I were together and like he could technically do homeschool some days and whatnot, but like homeschool events, I take the kids to because it's all women.
Totally.
You know, naturally. Yeah. And so he doesn't want to go.
Right.
But F3 is where it's like a good excuse to make friends. Like they're all working out, but yet, you know, they meet people and.
Yeah. I mean, well, and even just the way they raise up leaders, like he was. They call it queuing, but basically like leading a workout.
Yeah, I know.
Within like a month of starting to go, like they have all these funny terms.
Yeah, but, he was too. Yep.
Yeah, which is really, really cool. Because
there's a whole language.
Oh, there's a whole language. I only know some of the guys by their F3 names. So I'll be like, oh, is that
me too?
You know, Patty
me too.
Cake
I know. Say at the pool, I'm like, oh, there's such and such.
Yes. That's so funny. It's an underground, guys. Join the underground.
It is. One of my brother-in-law does it too, and he calls it a cult. Like, not like in a joking way. He's like, you know, the cult. Like,
I can see why. Oh man, but it is. It's cool to see how they just raise men up in leadership, and just to see how they grow. Like the stories he tells me. I mean, there's a lot that he's like, "Hey, this is between the guys or whatever," in like a you know good way. But he'll tell me of the way he sees these guys grow and change, and he's like, "I'm sure they see." You know, I'm different than when I started, but just how they raise each other up, it's really cool. It's really biblical. It's like there's not a lot of other places that modern men have those opportunities. Mm-hmm. So I love it. I think it's great.
I think that's why it catches on like it does, because it's funny because I've heard my brother-in-law and my husband both meet new guys and instantly be like, so have you heard of F3? I'm like, you guys are like, oh, we see him over there. Like, oh, they're telling about F3 again. Like.
Gotta talk
See,
about it.
See, I'm talking
it.
To that guy far in the distance, like, definitely talking about F3.
Yep. That's funny.
So funny.
I love it.
I feel like we could chat about homesteading and homeschooling forever. I will let you get back to your kids and whatever was on your to-do list for today. So, again, Francesca, thank you so much for joining. And for everybody who wants to follow along, I mean, you do more than music. You have a whole Instagram where you share your homestead and a little bit about homeschool. So that's at Francesca Music.
That's right. Yep.
Over on Instagram. Is there another place you want people to follow along, or is that pretty much your home base at this point?
That's the best place for now. We want to revamp the website, but it's just francescamusic.com. I mean, you can find all my music there and videos and some merch and stuff like that. But the most up-to-date stuff is for sure on Instagram.
On the gram.
And it's so fun. I'm so glad we got to chat, and thanks for having me on, and just love what you do, and you're such an inspiration. So thanks for putting so much out into the world for people like me who are new to all of this to learn. And literally almost every time someone shares a recipe or something, I'm like, that looks so awesome. Where did you find that? It's like 9 times out of 10, it's you. So I love that.
If it's sour, awesome. Sourdough.
Definitely
it's sourdough.
Yes.
Yeah.
But just awesome. So thankful for what you do.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. And I will see you in the next one.